Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank and the 20K Good Business Giveaway. Submit a video explaining how your business does good by October 24th for a chance to win $20,000. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest.
Stokely and Zach, John Davis filling in for Zach Bide. It's time to make our picks. We'll make our Broncos picks coming up at 2 a.m. You can still register for
2 a.m.?
2 a.m., yep, 2 a.m. Stick around in about 15 hours.
It's going to be all night. I don't know if I can do
PM.
That. My wife's not going to be...
I'll call you.
Okay,
it'll be, it'll
Let's
be
do
good.
It.
Just set an alarm.
That'd be kind of cool.
It will be. It'll bring the ratings in. I got Alpha.
I love it.
But yeah, at 2 p.m., you can still register for King Super's Fan Football Pick'em at 1043thefan.com.
Are you
with
doing
a chance
that?
To win. No.
What?
No, I'm not. I don't want. It's cool. I don't get. It would be nice to do it and pick bad to get Orlando shamed.
Right.
Because I can. He runs his picks by me every week, and I give him the wrong ones.
Perfect. Hoping to keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Hoping to get Big O. Hey, Big O's in Jamaica. Happy birthday to his dad.
Yeah, how about that?
But yeah, you can register 1043thefan.com with a chance to win $250 each week and shame one of us. You and Zach. Doesn't look like either. There's going to be no shaming going on.
Well, it's still early. You know, I like to stay focused. Zach, you know, he gets so giddy about winning for a week and just goes all over the place. Ah, we won. I say, stay focused, son. Stay focused.
He's somewhat of a mental midget.
You don't want a trap game.
Right.
He's
right. Yeah. Exactly. That's what's going to happen. And so I just like let's just stay focused. We'll look up. You know, I like to take that Bill Belichick approach. We'll look up at the end of the season and we can celebrate then.
The Bill Belichick,
yeah,
the former Colt and the former Bronco, taking the Belichick approach.
Yes. I mean, he's been pretty successful, right?
Yeah, it works
right.
out really
right.
well for him.
So, that you know, when I put on my coach's shoes, that's the approach I like to take.
That's good. Did you see him deny that kid a high five the other week?
Yes.
That was the greatest
in
thing.
In Detroit?
Yeah.
And what happened? They lost.
They
good
lost.
For you, Bill.
That's good for you. Anyways, we're going to get to the picks now. Stoke first, Buccaneers, Falcons. Who you got?
Oh, man. I mean, Atlanta Falcons are a mess right now. They are a complete disaster. They are 1-4. It's a football team that had the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and it's falling apart. So many injuries defensively. They're playing at home, though. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jameis Winston, I can't believe in them, so I'm going to go Falcons.
Yeah, while the Falcons are somewhat of a disaster right now, the Buccaneers might be the biggest disaster in the league, besides our Denver Broncos. Next Ooh. Game, rivalry game. This game is always really violent.
Yes, it is.
The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals.
A big-time rivalry game there. Playing in Cincinnati. Cincy's been hot this year. They're 4-1, 2-0 in the division. Pittsburgh's been a little hot, a little cold. But for some reason, I think they put it together. I'm not a believer in the Cincy team. I don't know. I'm not a believer in Andy Dalton. I think that Pittsburgh gets things together. They figure things out, and they go on the road and win a close one against Cincinnati.
I don't think the Cincinnati Bengals ever want to hear Brandon Stokely talking about him after what you did week one all those years ago.
That is true.
They still don't want to.
I'm still going to haunt him again.
Yeah, you're still going to haunt him. I think the Bengals win this.
Do you?
Yeah.
Are you a believer in Andy Dalton and what they're doing there?
I think Andy Dalton has been around long enough, and they've got enough consistency there to where they're not scared of anybody. They believe they can win things. I don't think Pittsburgh's very good.
That's a game I can't wait to watch.
So. Yeah.
It's an early start game, and it's going to be, you know, I like to pick one or two that I kind of go back and forth with, and that's definitely at the top of the list.
You know who's back this week? Perfect.
Yes, Vontez.
And he'll probably go get himself suspended
right away. He'll be back for 1 week and be gone.
And be gone. Next one, I'm sure we all had this game circled at the beginning of the year. Chargers at Cleveland.
You know, Cleveland beat the Chargers a couple years ago to get their first win of the season in Cleveland. Look, this is, you remember that one? This is going to be another close game. L.A., you know, the Chargers just, they always seem to start slow. They've had some bad injuries. Will they, you know, get things going enough to go on the road against a really, really tough Cleveland team? I just cannot go with a rookie quarterback beating Phillip Rivers, even though it is in Cleveland. And Cleveland is a good football team. I don't want to say good. They're a solid team. A lot better than what we've been seeing with Cleveland. But I like the Chargers.
It's been enough over the years to where I never bet against Phillip Rivers. He wins games he's not supposed to all the time. I think he's great. With the Cleveland team, though, where are you at with them?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. And Baker Mayfield, I'm just not quite sure yet either with him. Obviously, they won a close game last week in overtime against the Ravens. So we'll see if he can do it again.
So we both got the charges there. Is he making you a believer, though, Baker Mayfield?
Not yet. I got to see more.
Not even on that train.
No, I got to see more from him. Obviously, he's done a lot of good things, but he's only been, three games now or whatever it's been. I need to see more from him to say I'm a believer in him.
Yeah, a lot of people have thrown the gold jacket on him already, and I don't think, a couple of teams on the rise here, the Seattle Seahawks and Oakland Raiders. Who you got?
In Oakland, I like the Seahawks. I like the Seahawks going on the road. I just don't. John Gruden and the Raiders right now are a complete mess. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Raiders found a way to win that football game. I think it's a close game, but I'll take Russell Wilson over Derek Carr.
I think, I've got Seattle, too. With Derek Carr, is he the guy we saw 2 years ago?
No, not even close to being that guy that was in the MVP conversation only 2 years ago. So, obviously, you got a new coach, you got a new offense, new coordinator calling the plays this year. So, there's an adjustment period there. We'll see how it plays out the rest of the year for the Raiders, but they're in transition. They're already looking forward to, a couple years when they're in Vegas. And that, I think that's what they're building for right now. They know they're going to take their lumps this year and maybe a little bit next year, but they're looking forward to 2 years down the road when they're in Vegas.
What a nice send-off for all those fans in Oakland.
Sure.
Or they can just be awful. That's all right. They threw batteries at John Elway. I hope they have a bad time. So we got the Indianapolis Colts and the team, the world beaters we saw last week.
Right. I mean, the
New York Jets.
Best rushing attack in the history of the NFL, Isaiah Crowell and the New York Jets. I take the Jets at home. Look, they played a really good football game last week against us, obviously. Ran the ball all over the place at will. A better defense than most people give them credit for. At home, I think the Jets continue their momentum that we gave them last week, and they beat the Colts.
I think Andrew Luck slowly every week's getting better and better. I think he comes out and has a big game.
Oh.
And I'm not fooled by what the Broncos made the Jets look like. I got the Colts winning that one.
Wow.
Right now, you got a ring with these guys. Your old team, Stoke, Baltimore Ravens, against, quietly, I think, some pretty good team, the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, the Titans have played a solid football so far this year. They're a 3-2 football team. Ravens, a good football team, also a 3-2 team. Lost a heartbreaker last week in overtime to the Browns. I like the Ravens. I don't know. Titans, Ravens matchup, it brings me back to when we had them in our division and we used to play them twice a year when I was in Baltimore. I like the Ravens to go in there. I'm not buying what Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans are selling and Marcus Mariota. So I think the Ravens humble them a little bit and give them their second loss in a row.
Woo! I think I'm the opposite. I think the Ravens are going to start looking more like they were last year. I think the Flacco thing's going to start to become undone there a little bit. I got the Titans. Surprising. I do think it's a surprise pick. Last one. How about this game?
Woo!
How about this? Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs going up to Foxborough where they slapped them around last year playing the Patriots.
That's going to be a great Sunday night game. You want to
awesome.
Think people, you want to look at ratings after this game? Everybody's going to be watching this one. In New England, Patrick Mahomes and this offense, they dismantled the Patriots last year in the first game of the season. What will it look like this year? Their defense is such a mess in Kansas City. I think it's exploited, and I think the Patriots won a close one.
I'm with you on the Patriots. Something nobody's really talking about is for the first time in a season and a half, Julian Edelman is playing. He's back. I think people kind of forgot how
dominant
he is.
He played last week,
but it's still kind of under the
Josh
radar.
Josh Gordon type of thing, too.
Yeah.
Also, both those guys got a game in under their belt. You're exactly right.
And this is that point in the season where the Patriots take over. I think the Patriots are going to win. Was this picking these picks last week, was this a trap game for you and Zach? Who knows? Is this game this Sunday a trap game for the Rams? I'm reading Raiders. Trap game for the Rams. We get to that next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 in a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit eFirstBank.com/business contest for more details.
Stokely and Zach, John Davis sitting in for Zach Bye today. Stoke, the Rams, hottest team in the league, playing the Denver Broncos, who you can make an argument is the worst team in the league right now. Rams got a lot of big stuff coming up. Before I ask if this is a trap game for the Rams, do you believe in trap games at all?
Well, yes, I do. I believe that you look at certain situations and maybe you overlook a team a little bit and you're looking towards the big game in a week or so, and you don't take into consideration, you know, playing on the road, early starts, all of these different things that could affect how you perform and play sometimes are often overlooked by players, by fans. And so I do believe that a trap game is real. And sometimes you overlook teams and maybe you don't focus as much as you should. And I'm sure some people are saying, how could you do that? You know, you're playing in the NFL. Well, you know, we're humans too. We look at it too. And the Rams are looking at this game and they're looking at what happened last week to the Broncos. They're looking at, you know, hey, we're a big favorite in this game. Broncos just lost to the Jets. So, a lot of things come into play, and sometimes you just let your guard down a little bit. So, a trap game, yeah, it's real.
So this could be a trap game for the Rams.
Absolutely. 1,000%. Look, you're playing a team that is on the ropes. And when you're on the ropes and you're getting paid to play in the NFL, most of the times you come out swinging, and you're not going to just lay down. So we'll see what the Broncos are made of. I'm expecting them to come out with like they did against the Kansas City Chiefs and play with a chip on the shoulder. Hopefully they do it for a little bit longer. And you look at the Rams and you look at, you know, how their season has gone up to last week. And, you know, they played the first game on the road, okay, against the Raiders. Who knows what was going on in that game, right? The first game on the road. But after that, three games at home. Okay, and they looked the part. They were world beaters. And then they go on the road to Seahawks team that we saw here that's not very good. Average team. And the Seahawks were a couple plays away from winning that game. They lost by 2 points, 33-31. So now you look at the Rams and their situation. They're watching film on the Broncos, and they're seeing what we all saw last week. And they're seeing a football team that looked, you know, inept and looked awful. So you can start overlooking the Broncos, and you start feeling a little bit too confident about yourself. And I absolutely think that this could be a big trap game for the Rams. You're playing an AFC team. You don't see them a lot, and you just read the reports of what's going on. You hear the stories, and so it absolutely could be a trap game. The one thing that, you know, we'll see how it plays out, but when you have Wade Phillips and Aqib Talib in that locker room, maybe you can get guys' attention that maybe you might overlook this game. But now when you got those guys standing up there and saying, hey, these guys are good players, this and this, and, you know, let's come out with and be sharp this week. I want to embarrass these guys. And so maybe having those guys in the locker room and having the coach and Wade Phillips that has been here might help them not have that letdown game.
What about, because I thought maybe it was a divisional game, but Seattle might have been the game that smacked some sense into the Rams last week.
It could have been.
And then they come out this week going, hey, we don't want some bad team hanging 31 on us again.
Absolutely.
We
got
to take this seriously.
Absolutely. And you look at what happened to them last week, and they were fortunate to get that win against Seattle. Maybe that was an eye-opener for them. I look at this game as one of those games where you could look at with the Broncos last year and the Giants. You know, you just kind of – maybe you just overlooked the Giants a little bit, and they came in here and they whipped you. So hopefully the Rams are overlooking the Broncos, because if they do, the Broncos will win this game.
Yeah.
If the Rams come in here and think they're just going to roll the Broncos and they haven't prepared like they should prepare, the Broncos will come out and I think the Broncos will come out and they'll look more like the team we saw against Kansas City. Now, they got to do it for four quarters. But I think that if the Rams aren't prepared and aren't mentally sharp and aren't ready to play this football game, and then you throw the elements into it, I think the Broncos will come out more like we saw against the Kansas City Chiefs, and if the Rams aren't up for it, they will get a win.
They could steal it. And you said Broncos Giants trap game. As a big fan, 1997, we're 13-0. We go up to New York, play the awful New York Giants, and get beat. So to Broncos fans, right, if you want to know what a trap game looks like, go back to 1998. Excuse me, but so Sean McVay does a lot of innovative stuff. Really good coach, but he's young.
Right.
So could he potentially hasn't been in this position before and keeping the team focused. Do you think his inexperience, his youth, could play a role in the trap game?
You know what? I don't think so. I don't think so. Coaches know. You know, he's been a coach in the NFL for a long time, and they realize that a big part of this game is communicating to your team that, you know, we can't let our guard down. The Denver Broncos aren't that bad of a football team. Don't believe the media reports. Don't believe everything that you're reading about the Broncos. Who cares if we're favored or not? If we don't play our best football, we will lose. And that needs to be Sean McVay's message. But I don't think that will be a problem at all. You know, as a football coach, and if you've been around the NFL for as long as he has, that you know, this is a game that, and you look at the Broncos roster, I mean, there's a lot of talent on this football team. And if they don't come in here and play a good football game, the Broncos will win.
Interesting question I have. Peyton Manning, Mr. Detail, what was his approach to a potential trap game? Did he ever address that with the team, or did he take everybody on like they were?
That was all the same. You know, he prepared the same way. He was up early and grinding away, doing the same stuff as he does every single week. You know, he realized that, you know, that's the one thing for him. He always wanted to feel like he was prepared, and he always was prepared. Now, maybe he didn't perform like he wanted to perform, but he was always prepared. Every single week, he was always committed. And you never saw him, you know, approach the week differently. And, you know, and that's big. That's a big part of it, obviously. When you got the leader of your football team that has the same energy every single week, whether you're playing, you know, back in the day when we were playing Houston Texans, bad football team, it didn't matter who we were playing with the Colts. He brought the same energy and detail whether you're playing the Patriots or a bad football team. It didn't really matter. And that, you know, that feeds on down. And I think even more so sometimes he'd put his foot on the gas in situations like that just to make sure that guys weren't having a letdown and weren't overlooking a football team. And so, you know, he realized that when you're playing teams like that, sometimes you could overlook them and you could take it for granted. And he never wanted to look back on a week like that or a game like that and say, oh, man. You know, we just overlooked that football team. So I think in certain instances, he actually, you know, put the pedal to the metal a little bit more in weeks like that just to make sure that guys weren't overlooking football teams that we should beat.
That's probably the way to do it. Acknowledge the trap game exists.
Right.
And then you take it on. Belichick's another guy that I think he takes every team like we're playing the best team in the world this week.
And that's the right approach, you know. It doesn't matter who you're playing. I want to play good football. And I want to execute at a high level, and I want to dominate. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, a bad football team or a good football team. We're going to approach every single week the same. And I think if you have that mindset, then you give yourself a chance every single week. And by the end of the season, you'll be a better football team. You know, it doesn't matter who they are, what their record is. It's all about you and your football team and it getting better and improving. And if you have that approach, you'll be fine.
Well, I hope they think it's a trap game. So I hope the Rams treat it like a trap game.
And, you know, I mean, look, sometimes you have that happen. You're a football team that's high-flying. Everything's been going your way. You're 5-0, and everybody's telling you how great you are. So hopefully it's come back to reality moment for them.
I think I can. It's Bud Light Football Friday live from Blake Street Tavern. Register to win a viewing party at Blake Street Tavern with the Denver Broncos cheerleaders, courtesy of Bud Light, the official sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Next, fill in the blank, offense edition. I like that song, Stoke. You remember that song?
Great. Naughty by Nature?
Naughty by Nature. Look at that. Brandon Stokely, hip-hop connoisseur. All right. It's time to do fill in the blank, the offense edition. I'm going to give Stoke a statement, and he's going to fill in the blank. Stoke, Case Keenum will commit blank turnovers.
Two turnovers. Yeah, he's been a turnover machine all year long. There hasn't been one game where he hasn't turned the football over. So I'm just going to continue the trend and go off what I've seen. He looked the most uncomfortable I've seen him all year long last week. So you're going up against a great front, a front that has two interior guys that can flat out get after you, and Sue and Aaron Donald. And if he looked uncomfortable last week, I think he's going to look more uncomfortable this week, and I think he commits two turnovers.
I agree. Those Wade Phillips defensive backs don't drop passes that are thrown right to him.
That's right. Marcus Peters, if he gets his hands on it, he's catching that ball.
And he's probably going to the house, too. Blank percent of Keenum's passes will come off play action. So far, it's been 16% this season.
I go 20%. I think they start using a little bit more. If you want to control these pass rushers of the Rams, you're going to have to get them thinking about the run game and use it to your advantage. It's obvious that the Broncos can run the football, and they've done a really good job of it. Now you got to start taking advantage of that and using play action passes a little bit more than what we've seen.
I hope so, because that's where he's best, and they got to get him away from those two monsters up the middle. Royce Freeman will receive blank carries.
12 carries for Royce Freeman. I think they do a good job of spreading the carries around between Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay. I think he gets 12 carries.
Okay. Asking, how many times do you think they run the ball total? It's not on here, but...
You know, I think... I'm going to go mid-20s. 26 carries.
So about right down the middle for him. Okay, here's a good one. Everybody's favorite player on the Denver Broncos right now, Garrett Bowles, will be flagged blank times this week.
Just one.
Just one usual.
Flag for Garrett Bowles. That's it.
Is one too many?
Yeah, you would like to see none, but hopefully it doesn't take back a big play. Hopefully it doesn't, you know, prevent you from scoring points, and it's one of those flags that is not a costly flag if that's ever the case.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see him get that. I'd like everybody to kind of get off Garrett Bowles for a while. The Broncos offense.
Well, he's got to help him.
Yeah.
By, you know, playing good football. And if he plays better football, people will get off of him. But it's not been as bad as people make it out to be.
Right.
And it hasn't been perfect. And you look at some of the holding calls and some of the sacks he's given up. Yeah, it's frustrating, but there's worse play out there. Let me tell you, there's worse offensive line play than what we've been watching with Garrett Bowles.
Garrett Bowles plays on the offensive line. The Broncos offensive line will surrender blank sacks.
Four sacks. Well, I look at their struggles last week in the interior of this offensive line. When you look at Connor McGovern and trying to keep up with Leonard Williams and company last week against the New York Jets, you're going up against better players in Sue and Aaron Donald. And there's nobody better than Aaron Donald at getting to the quarterback from the interior of your line. And so I think they get after Keenum, and they get to him four times.
And Donald sometimes, even though it's not him that gets to the quarterback, him creating what he does.
Exactly. He gets a quarterback off his spot and makes him move and makes him uncomfortable, and then somebody else falls into a sack.
Is this interior line of the Rams versus the Broncos interior line, is that the biggest mismatch for the Broncos?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, when you look at Donald and Sue and what they can bring to the table and what they can do on any given snap, they can flat out change a ball game. And if you're dropping back to pass and you don't have an established running game and you're playing from behind, it's tough to stop those guys. So you have to keep the game close. You have to establish your running game. Make them think about the run. Don't let them pin their ears back and get after the quarterback.
Wade Phillips, he's coming back.
Wade is back.
He's back. We all miss him.
I think everybody misses Wade Phillips a lot around here. I think that goes without saying. With what we've seen here the last year and change under Joe Woods, it just hasn't even been close to being good enough in what we're used to.
It's funny. Everybody always talks about the Belichick coaching tree and how coaches don't do as well under him. The Wade Phillips coaching tree, VJ, Joe Woods, not doing so hot.
That is correct. That is a correct statement.
They're not doing so hot. But Wade Phillips blank bring heavy pressure all game.
Well, you answered it. Will.
Yeah, Will.
He will.
Yeah.
I think Wade Phillips will bring heavy pressure all the game. He's an attacking style defensive coordinator. He doesn't like to sit back. He's going to try to get after Case Keenum, make him uncomfortable. He watched the film last week against the Jets. He saw how uncomfortable he looked, and he wants to continue that trend and continue to put pressure on him and try to confuse him. Because if you do that, Case Keenum will throw you the football.
So now we're going to talk about a position here, you know, kind of an overrated position in the NFL, Stoke.
Broncos leading receiver. Offensive line, guards.
Orlando Franklin's old. This is kind of one that's, I think, is actually the most interesting thing. The Broncos leading receiver will be blank.
I'm going to go with Emmanuel Sanders. Got to find more ways to get him the football. And you look how the season started. 10 receptions on 11 targets against the Seahawks. I mean, are you kidding me? And then it's steadily gone down from there until last week where he had 9 catches against the Jets. A lot of meaningless catches there for only 72 yards. So you look at how he started and how it's kind of regressed since then for him as far as catching the ball down the football field, making explosive plays like we saw the first two games. So I think we get back to that. We get back to getting him the football in his hands early, and he gets back to making explosive plays. Look, the guy is a tough matchup for any defense. And if you're going to blitz the Broncos and you're going to leave guys one-on-one with them, he will take advantage of it. And the Broncos need to do a good job this week of taking advantage of those mismatches with Emmanuel Sanders and find ways to get him the football down the field.
How important is it for them to involve him as immediately as we can? It seems to me the last few weeks they haven't got him the ball early enough.
They haven't. You're exactly right. And, you know, all receivers want the ball in their hands early. Get comfortable, get in the flow of the game. And I think in a game like this, you know, this is where Emmanuel Sanders shines at his brightest. He knows people are going to be watching. He knows a lot of TV sets will be tuned in to watch the L.A. Rams. And he realizes that you lost three games in a row, so you got to find a way to get him going early. And he's one of those catalysts. He's an emotional player. Guys feed off of his energy and his passion. He can get the crowd into it. So you got to find ways early in football games to get the ball in Emmanuel Sanders' hands.
I told Orlando Franklin in the preseason that by the Arizona game, Cortland Sutton would start taking more snaps than Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
Last week that happened. Is that a trend that you could see continuing with this receiving core?
And DT had a solid game
last week.
You know, nobody ever talks about DT when he plays
well. They never did. He played good in Baltimore, too.
He did. And so I think you'll see what you've been seeing, you know, and Cortland Sutton, you know, deserves more reps. And then also on top of it, you're saving DT. You're saving him, and you're hopefully having him fresh down the stretch, and you're seeing a better product out there. So I think whatever they did last week, you know, DT went out there and had a really good game. Cortland Sutton had that touchdown catch. It probably continues that way. You got to find a way to get Cortland Sutton on the football field and throw him the football, because he is a dynamic playmaker, and he will just continue to get better and better the more comfortable he gets. So you look at their situation with the depth that they have at wide receiver. You saw Deshaun Hamilton make his first ever NFL catch last week. So I think you're going to see these young guys continue to get more plays, and maybe DT's plays start coming down a little bit more. But he'll still be
effective. I'd like to see DT have like a Larry Fitzgerald type. They kind of moved him inside, but it extended his career.
Sure.
I think do you think that's a possible way where his career trajectory could end up?
Well, I'm not sure about that, because DT's not really a slot receiver. You'll see him in there on some occasions, but to move him totally inside, that's really not his game. But I like where they're going, and you've got to find ways to get the football in Cortland Sutton's hands and give him opportunities down the football field. That's where he's special. When you get one-on-one matchups, hey, I'm throwing it up there to this guy, and he'll make a play for you most times.
Who has more catches this weekend, DT or Cortland Sutton?
Wow. I'm going to go DT. I'm going to go with the established veteran.
They know Marcus Peters well.
They do.
This is a guy that we played against. And DT in the past has had some success against Marcus Peters. So I like to see that. But you got Emmanuel Sanders. Pritch, and I want to know if you see this. Pritchard mentioned this earlier today about Emmanuel, that he looks like he could be his ankle could be. He could be playing on a hurt ankle. Have you seen that?
I haven't noticed that. You know, it bothered him last year, obviously, and he was talking about it in the offseason a little bit, the ankle not being fully healthy. But it's looked fully healthy to me. I haven't really noticed him out there on the field hobbling at all, and if that could be an issue or not, if that's kind of lingering. Obviously, he looks good to me. He looks good to me. You got to find a way to get him the football.
So he's ready to go. That was Fill in the Blank Offense Edition. Next, we fill in the blank with the defense. Stokely and Zach, John Davis filling in for Zach Bye. Got a little boys to men playing right there. A lot of good early 90s.
That's been kind of the theme today. You know, Blake Street Tavern's got some, you know, old school R&B going. So, and it's Friday. Boys to men.
Boys to men. So, fill in the blank defense.
East Coast
edition.
Family.
East Coast. You know more lyrics to songs people wouldn't expect you to. Like I said, hip-hop R&B connoisseur Brandon Stokely.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So fill-in-the-blank defense edition, best player on the team, but not this year, Von Miller. Blank, make an impact on the game.
He wakes up from his hibernation. He will have an impact on this game. Look, he's been very critical, and he's flat-out said, I got to do better. I got to make more plays. I got to get to the quarterback. I got to find a way to get it done. I like that mindset. I like his thought process heading into this game, and I think he goes out there and makes a statement, and we see the Von Miller that we saw the first couple weeks of the season. He will have an impact.
If he's going to make an impact play, is it a big sack at a crucial time, strip sack, fumble?
I sure hope so. I sure hope so. That's what we need to see. We need to see a guy making big plays in this type of game. You need your best player to step up in these games. If you want to have a chance for this upset, you need Von Miller to have a huge impact. And, yes, that means getting to the quarterback and not only just getting to him, but getting that football out. You know, you saw Khalil Mack the first game of the season against the Packers, and I know they lost that game, but you saw the impact that he made, not just sacks, but he was getting the ball out. And he got an interception. We need those types of plays from our best player if we want to have a chance to win this game.
And that's what Vaughn did against Seattle, and it was the difference in that game.
That's right.
He was the difference. Everybody's favorite guy after last week, Bradley Roby, will surrender blank big plays.
I go two. And I hate to do that, but I think it kind of continues. There's just so many weapons on this football team. You can't sit there and give Bradley Roby help all the time. And so you're going up against this offense. I don't like how the week started for Bradley Roby, missing a day of practice. What were the circumstances surrounding that? I don't know. I can only speculate and guess on the reasons why he wasn't there, why there was such a bad miscommunication, and I don't like it. So where is his mind at? Will he bounce back? I think he gives up two big plays.
Yeah, I think that Robert Woods is going to go all over him.
Well, and we'll see. We'll see about Brandon Cooks Cooper Kupp if they even play. You know, I mean, all signs are leading towards them playing. They had concussions last week, so we'll see if those guys are in the lineup. But, yeah, Robert Woods, Cooks, and Cooper Kupp, I mean, wow. They got a trio there.
They do. The Broncos will give up blank yards to Todd Gurley.
92. I'm going to go 92 yards for Todd Gurley. His rushing numbers aren't off the chart. You know, he started with 108 against Oakland, only had 42 against Arizona, but they won 34-0. So I don't think he played much in the second half. So you look at his numbers, he's at 200-yard games on the ground, but he also can do it in the air. And so you look at a guy like Todd Gurley, not only do you have to worry about him rushing, but you have to worry about him in the passing game. He's had a lot of – he's had 2-3 touchdown games this year, though. And that's – he finds a way to get into the end zone. I put him at 92 yards. This defense has got their work cut out for him because there's so many weapons on this Rams offense. Who do you try to stop? You struggled last week against the run, so you better believe this Rams team is going to test you and test your rush defense to see if you're on top of what you're supposed to be on top of. And if you miss assignment, if you're bad on your technique, Todd Gurley will make you look silly a lot worse than Isaiah Crowell did last week.
And once Todd gets hot, that's what makes me worry. Once he gets hot, I mean, he goes.
He goes. And he's tough, man. I mean, you know, you better come to the party. You better bring everybody to the party. And you saw last week, I was actually listening to you and Big O talk about the game. I was heading down to watch the Rockies play.
Right.
Thank goodness the Rockies were playing last week, so I didn't have to watch that disaster that was the Jets game. But I was heading down there, and I heard y'all talking about the 3rd-and-1 play. And Pecco had, I don't know if it's Crowell or Powell in the backfield, and on 3rd-and-1 had him stop. But it seemed like he held him up for 5 seconds. Nobody else was there, and then he escapes the one guy, and he gets the first down. So you've got to have more than one guy there. You've got to fly to the football, and you've got to have 2 or 3 guys trying to tackle Todd Gurley. If it's one-on-one, you're not going to bring this guy down. So you got to do a better job than you did last week, and that's obvious.
Yeah, it was frustrating. Nobody even touched him when Pecco had him. And it's confusing to me because this is the same unit is last year. They returned everybody, and it just shouldn't be seeing those mistakes popping up when you dominated last year against guys like Zeke and Lynch and everybody. Jared Goff, blank commit a turnover.
He will commit a turnover. I got faith in this defense that they'll find a way to bounce back in some regards over last week, and they'll put pressure on Goff. And look, last week Seattle got 2 turnovers. If Seattle can get 2 turnovers at home, the Broncos should be able to force a couple turnovers from Jared Goff.
Does he have 5 interceptions? I don't think he's doing. He'll give up.
They throw the football down the field. They take chances. He's an aggressive quarterback, and his coach is an aggressive play caller. So, you know, sometimes you'll have those opportunities to get those interceptions. And Seattle did a good job last week. The Broncos need to do the same.
If we do pick him off, who do you got?
I got Chris Harris, and I got Justin Simmons.
Justin Simmons is, for my money, one of the top 3 best players on that entire defense. Jared
Goff,
will commit, very good player. The weather, blank, helps slow down the Rams' offense.
It will. I mean, highs of, you know, the mid-20s. LA's California teams, look, you don't like to play in the cold. If you have an explosive offense and you like to throw the football, you want to play in great weather conditions. I've been on those types of offense before. I never liked playing in the cold. So, you know, when I was with the Baltimore Ravens, we didn't mind playing in the cold because, we had a smash-mouth defense that was going to punch you in the mouth, and we'll run the football. So cold weather, whatever. But the worse the weather, the better for us. But for the Rams, they want perfect conditions out there. And they're not going to have it. So I think it will affect them. To what degree? I don't know. We'll be able to see that after the game. But they haven't had a cold weather game yet, but I think it will affect them.
About that, is it the cold? Can snow have a different effect, or is it just the temperature? That's always the biggest problem.
Everything. You know, the football's different when it's freezing cold out there. If it's snow, now you got some wet conditions, and your gloves are wet, and so the ball comes out of the quarterback's hands differently, and it's harder to get your grip and come in and out of your breaks in the pass pattern. So, you know, whether it's snowy or just cold, I mean, all those conditions affect a passing game.
I bet catching a Jay Cutler bullet in the cold probably hurt pretty bad.
Yeah. It wasn't the most fun.
That guy had a cannon, nothing else, but he did have a cannon.
He had a cannon.
The Broncos will receive blank 12 men on the field penalties.
Wow.
The
fact that we're asking this question right now disturbs me, John. I will say they will get zero 12 men on the field penalties. You had back-to-back games there. I think Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs where you had 12 men on the field and you had to burn timeouts. And so I don't think, and I'm very, very hopeful, we'll see none of that this week. You can't have mistakes against this team. You can't burn timeouts because if you do, it comes back to haunt you, just like it did against the Chiefs. You got to burn a timeout. Oh, what happens? Well, you need that timeout later in the game. So you can't make those types of mistakes. You got to play a clean football game. If you have 12 men on the field again this week, I'll be very, very disappointed. But I don't think they will.
I think it may have happened last week, too. But
did it really?
I can't remember. Late, but well, the game was out of hand when it happened, I think. But I don't know for sure.
It did, but I thought it might have been on something else, though.
Yeah,
but
it did. There was a weird substitution issue with the Broncos. But yeah, the fact that we had to ask that question and that it's a legitimate question is not good. This is very interesting right here, though. We've talked a lot about him. Joe Woods, blank out scheme. Wade, yeah.
Are we serious?
Is this sillier than the previous
question? Am I getting pranked here?
You are getting pranked. This is
he's punked? Is this
punked? Ashton, bring out Ashton Kutcher.
Where is he?
We have him
where
here.
Where is he?
We're punking.
No, look, of course, Joe Woods will not out-scheme Wade Phillips. That's not going to happen. Wade Phillips is the OG. He is the guru. So you're not going to out-scheme the godfather, Wade Phillips. It's not going to happen. But I do hope that Joe Woods has a good game plan put together, like they did against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they go out there and execute it for four quarters. And this team plays at a high level. So, you know, a lot of those guys on the defensive side of the football have a little chip on their shoulders and want to show Wade Phillips that they still have it, that they can get it done without Wade Phillips. And so hopefully that carries over to the field on Sunday and they put out a good performance.
Were you surprised that Joe Woods is still calling the plays?
Yes, I am. And I'm not in those meeting rooms, so I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's called and what's supposed to be executed. I don't know how they're coaching it you know, what's on Joe Woods and what's on the players. But at some point, as the head football coach, Vance Joseph's got to make tough decisions. And your defense, with all the talent that they have, is just not playing good enough. They're not executing at a high enough level. So at some point, you got to say, Joe, I know it's not your fault. And this happens all the time in the NFL. Guys fall on swords. Right? Because it is what it is. It's either me or you. And in this instance, we need a new voice. We need a different voice. We need a guy that is brilliant on Sunday. And so we just haven't seen that from Joe Woods. We've seen it in spurts, but it needs to be more consistent. I don't know if it's a message or the in-game changes that aren't good enough, but whatever it is, it just hasn't been good enough. And you could look at this defense and say, okay, well, you know what? We give Joe Woods a pass. We just don't have enough talent. But this, you can't say that about this defense. They got talent everywhere. And so the product that we're seeing is not good enough. So who pays the price for that? The leader of that group. Right, and that's Joe Woods, unfortunately. So I did think that a different voice would a move would be made there. And whether you fire Joe or you just take his responsibilities away, I don't know. But I thought something would happen this week. And obviously, they got a big test. And if they don't perform at a high level this week, then obviously a move should be made quickly.
I think if you're calling the plays, I don't know what you think of this, and you got a guy like Von Miller on your defense, and you're not able to get him involved, you're definitely doing something wrong as a defensive coordinator.
Exactly. You have got to find ways to put these guys in positions to be successful. We keep hearing about, oh, yeah, we'll have a plan for Von. We'll have a plan for him to free him up. Have you seen Von Miller in any other position but outside linebacker lining up on the edge? I'd like to see him line up over the guard sometimes. Give teams different things to look at when they try to scheme and game plan for Von Miller. We haven't done any of that. Nothing. Zero.
And you brought in a number five pick that was supposed to have him do it. Because Orlando's actually talked about that as an offensive lineman. He said it would drive him crazy if he lined up and suddenly he saw Von in the middle. Because he'd be sitting there thinking, well, what's this guy on the edge doing that I got to block?
Right.
And where's Von coming from? He's like, the visual of Von in the middle would be enough to make the to make them maybe call timeout even, and just to throw them off.
Give them different looks. Give them different things to think about. Give them different things to game plan for when it comes to your best players, right? Be creative. You know, we talk about being creative on the offensive side of the football, but be creative on the defensive side of the football with your pass rushers and finding different ways to free those guys up, because obviously Von Miller is a focal point of opposing offenses. They're going to try to disrupt Von Miller. So give them different things to look at with Von Miller.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday live from Blake Street Tavern. Register to win a viewing party at Blake Street Tavern with the Denver Broncos cheerleaders, courtesy of Bud Light, the official sponsor of the Denver Broncos. We'll get to our Broncos prediction, but first, what's up with that Denver snapshot?
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 in a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit eFirstBank.com/businesscontest for more details.